Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Chad Young.
Hello and welcome to the First Pitch Podcast. As the man said, my name is Chad Young. First, a quick apology about Saturday's episode being missed. I mentioned on Friday a little bit of a cold, was feeling a bit under the weather. I'm sure you can still hear it in my voice now. Well, on Saturday, things got worse, had to be placed in the COVID IL. The good news is I don't have to test negative or even be symptom-free to get back at this, but I do have to be functional. Saturday I was not, today I am, so here we go. We are going to only cover Saturday's action, but we will go back and get some of the news we missed on Friday, just so we're all caught up and on the same page. And we're going to start with Jorge Soler, who missed a couple days with back discomfort and then had to be placed on the IL. It's expected to be a short stay. Soler, a good source of power and capable of getting very hot as he did at the end of last season, but I'm still not expecting a ton from him the rest of the way. Chris Bassett scratched from his start and then placed on the IL with a non-injury designation, reportedly due to a positive COVID test. Chris, if you need to commiserate, you can find me on Twitter at Chad Young. Happy to talk through this with you. Also hope that you're back at it as quickly as I have been. As with any COVID IL stay, it's hard to know how long it will be. Rich Hill left his start Friday with a knee strain and Saturday found himself on the 15-day IL. The Red Sox rotation is a mess. There are two spots that need to be claimed. Chris Sale likely not ready this time through the rotation. Garrett Whitlock supposed to return, but as a reliever. Maybe that changes now. Maybe he'll come back to the rotation. Top prospect Brian Bello is an interesting option, but no indication they're going to call him up. So not really sure what to expect. Just keep an eye on the news for that. Guardians outfielder Oscar Gonzalez had been showing some promise with the bat, but he is headed to the 10-day IL. He has a core issue that showed some swelling on MRI. Timing not yet clear. With him going down, the Guardians called up shortstop prospect Gabriel Arias. Suspect he'll get some time in multiple spots, but I don't think it'll be enough to be a real factor just yet. A couple pitchers whose returns are going to be delayed. Jack Flaherty's been shut down for throwing for 2 to 3 weeks, while Lucas Sims will miss the rest of the year after back surgery. A pitcher who somewhat surprisingly won't be missing time, it seems. Kevin Gausman was hit by a comebacker in the leg in his start on Saturday, but it does not appear he'll be headed to the IL. X-rays were negative. He'd gone just 2 innings with 3 strikeouts, a walk, and 4 hits, so hopefully he'll be back for his next start without missing any time. Turning our attention to players who are back, Joey Wendell back with Miami, played Friday going 2 for 4 with a walk, a run, and an RBI. Wendell's having a great start to the season, and his multi-position eligibility makes him interesting as a depth piece in deeper leagues, but his fantasy value is sort of limited as he doesn't hit for a ton of power or run very much. Michael Pineda back with the Tigers off the IL. He took the loss in a 3-1 game against the Royals, went 5 innings, striking out 3 with a walk, gave up 2 home runs, and home runs are always a problem for him. If they continue to be so, he'll continue to be hard to use. The Cards got back Matthew Liberatore from AAA and Jordan Hicks from the IL on Saturday. They both pitched at Philly. Liberatore started and went just 2 2/3, giving up 5 runs on 6 hits with a walk and 3 strikeouts, while Hicks went 1 2/3 scoreless in relief, giving up a couple hits without a K or a walk. It's a rough place to be welcomed back. Patience probably warranted, although I think Liberatore's probably not quite ready to contribute to fantasy teams this year, and Hicks is likely in a middle relief role. Mookie Betts will be back today and may play some second base. He earned second base eligibility in many formats last year, in some formats that carried over to this year. This is a good know-your-rule situation because Betts adding second base for this year or continuing it into next would be a nice little value boost. Jonathan Villar, who the Cubs released a few days ago, is signed with the Angels. Their infield's kind of a mess, so plenty of places he can make an impact. Just remains to be seen how they'll use him, and also if he's going to be fantasy darling Villar, or the guy who keeps getting released. Finally, happy Jacob deGrom Day to those who celebrate. Today's celebration, just a minor one. DeGrom will be making a rehab start as he inches ever closer to his season debut. As we turn our attention to the action, going to be a bit abbreviated as part of my recovery. This is just a rehab start for me as well. Starting on the mound, Shane McClanahan had a tough test at Toronto, and yeah, I would say he passed. 7 innings, 1 run, 10 strikeouts, 1 walk, 3 hits, 18 whiffs, 39% CSW. Dude is just good. For an almost equally good line, although not nearly as exciting a matchup, George Kirby, 7 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, a walk, and 9 strikeouts. That's a real nice bounce back for him, although it was just against Oakland, so take it with a grain of salt. He had 15 whiffs on 100 pitches with a 37% CSW. As with any rookie, there's going to be bumps in the road, but I do think he is capable of being very, very good. Opposite him, Paul Blackburn pitched well, and I keep saying I'm going to bail on him when he stops producing, but it's July now and it hasn't happened yet. Going from McClanahan to Kirby to an even better line with Spencer Strider, he went 6 innings, 11 strikeouts, 1 walk, 1 hit, 1 earned run, and 24 whiffs. Man, all three of these guys had just great nights. Tyler Anderson continued to look good for the Dodgers, 6 1/3, allowing the Padres to score just 1 run on 6 hits. He had 6 walks and 2 strikeouts. Some others who pitched pretty well: Jordan Lyle shut down the Twins for 6 1/3. Jose Urquidy handled the Angels. Josh Winkowski had no issues at Wrigley. And Nestor Cortez stymied the Guardians. Gerrit Cole, not quite as dominant as you would hope, 6 innings and gave up 2 runs. They were on back-to-back home runs to Josh Naylor and Franmil Reyes. He had 6 strikeouts in 6 innings, but also walked 3. That raised his FIP in the year up to 3.44, which makes him look a little bit like a sell high. But he's only actually had 2 starts worse than a 3.44 FIP since April 19th. Those 2 starts were Saturday and the 5 home run performance against the Twins on June 9th. I really think he's just fine. He's just had a couple stinkers in there. Looking at pitchers who were sort of more in the middle, Drew Rasmussen and Dylan Cease both avoided much damage. They only gave up an earned run apiece. Cease, though, just 4 strikeouts and 3 walks in 5 innings. Walks continue to be an issue for him. Rasmussen had just 2 strikeouts and 2 walks in 4 2/3. You'd really like to see more from both of them. Yu Darvish gave up 5 runs to the Dodgers, but struck out 10 without a walk. Kind of a nice showing in a weird way. I wouldn't have wanted to start him in this one anyways, but based on what he did, I feel a little bit better going forward. And a couple of guys who did not pitch well at all. Aaron Ashby's return to the rotation was rough. Pittsburgh touched him up for 4 runs and 5 hits and a walk over 3 2/3. He did strike out 6, so he flashed that arm talent, and it is very, very good arm talent. This was just his first start back, so you want to be patient, but I think we're still waiting on that full breakout. Finally, Kyle Gibson gave up back-to-back, yes, that was 4 backs, home runs in the first inning, and finished allowing 6 runs on 7 hits, 2 walks with just 2 strikeouts. Real ugly start. He lasted only 4 innings. His FIP has now jumped over a run since the start of June. And for those of you who, like me, were wondering if Gibson had maybe discovered a new talent level in age 34 season, he has not. Looking at the hitters, some players with 2 home run nights. Matt Carpenter continues to have just a thoroughly perplexing season. 2 more home runs, so this time he added a normal, old-fashioned non-home run hit as well. His playing time is a little bit more sparse now, but when he's playing, he's apparently Aaron Judge. Christian Walker is up 21 home runs after hitting 2 in Colorado Saturday. His overall line looks worse than it should, and I suspect his average will rise. Don't know if you can still buy low, but I would if I could. Nolan Arenado, after hitting one of those 4 home runs off Gibson, tagged on a 2nd home run, the game winner in a 7-6 matchup. He hit that off Sir Anthony Dominguez in the 9th. Martin Maldonado hit 2 for the Astros. Not going to make me add him to any rosters, but it is impressive. Isaac Paredes kind of belongs in this list. He played in 2 games and hit a home run in each of them, so no double homer game, but double homer day at least. If you can still go get Paredes, you definitely should. He has been excellent. Some other homers of note: Riley Green got his first, Justin Turner hit another, continuing a recent tear that will undoubtedly have me buying back in, and O'Neill Cruz hit another home run. Jose Altuve and DJ LeMahieu also homered. What makes that interesting is they both stole bases as well for a combo meal. Quick look at some saves and blown saves. Tanner Scott got his 9th for Miami. David Bednar bounced back with a solid inning, a walk, and a strikeout for his 12th save. AJ Puck blew the save for the A's in the 8th, and then Lou Trevino lost the game in the 9th without getting an out. No one in that pen inspires much confidence for me. Will Smith got his 4th save for Atlanta. They're still without Kenley Jansen, and Smith will hold that role for now. David Robertson got his 11th for the Cubs. Wasn't real pretty for Kendall Graveman. He gave up a run on 3 hits, but he did get his 5th save for the White Sox. Ryan Helsley pitched the 8th for the Cards in a tie game, and then after Arenado gave him the lead, he stayed on to close it out. Got the W instead of a save. Probably means he's not available for a save on Sunday since he went 2 on Saturday. Jorge Lopez blew another for Baltimore, giving up a Jorge Polanco home run to tie it and a Jose Miranda single to lose it. He went a third of an inning, giving up two runs and four hits. The Twins have walked him off now twice in a row. I think he still has some more leash, not super worried about the job just yet. That win, by the way, went to Emilio Pagan. He's on a very short leash, you would think, but he then pitched a perfect ninth with two strikeouts, and so maybe I'll get him more chances to blow games for the Twins. Clay Holmes got his 15th save after Wandy Peralta turned a five-run lead into a save situation by giving up a couple hits. Holmes only had to get one out, and in my opinion, you should not get a save for a five-run lead and one out, but hey, it counts. Speaking of Holmes, Aroldis Chapman did not get a save, but he did come in and face three hitters and walk them all, so he really does not look like a threat at all to retake that closer role. At least not anytime soon, though Aaron Boone does sound like he would put Chapman back in the role if he gets right. Just feels like a real big if as of right now. With that, let's turn our attention to what's going on Sunday, starting with the weather with our friend Mark Paquette.
Thank you very much. We saw some showers and thunderstorms along the I-95 corridor from D.C. to New York City on Saturday, but that front will sink south and that won't be an issue for today. The one game that will be an issue is an NL West matchup between the Diamondbacks as they head over to Colorado in Denver. There will be some showers and thunderstorms, mainly to their west in the mountains, but some could drift off and cause some issues. We're going to have to keep an eye out there. Other than that, all the games will be good to play, and I will talk to you tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mark. Not a lot of great streaming options on Sunday. Jose Quintana against Milwaukee, not a bad choice. Maybe Brady Singer against Detroit. A lot of the other games, though, are really good starters or really bad starters. As for hitters, I think Eric Fetty's going to have some issues with the Marlins, and I think the Astros will have a nice game off Jose Suarez. I would get my players from both those lineups into my lineups. As for what I'm watching, some fun pitching matchups. Adam Wainwright versus Zach Wheeler should be fun. Frankie Montas and Robbie Ray should be a good. But I'm most interested to see what Mackenzie Gore can do. He's facing off against Clayton Kershaw, but more importantly for him, after two rough starts, he bounced back last time out versus Philly. Now he gets the Dodgers, and I'm just very curious to see what he does there. Before that, though, I'm going to go take a little nap. Got to recover from this. COVID is no joke. Stay safe out there, everyone. I'm going to spend my day mostly relaxing and trying to recover. Going to be doing some reading over at Pitcher List, the SP Roundup, Batters Box, and Reliever Ranks for sure. You should be reading those as well to get more depth on everything that happened Saturday and what's coming up on Sunday. After that, I'll turn you over to the rest of the First Pitch team for the week, and I'll be back with you next weekend.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.